This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 16th, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
So we will turn next to item three, which is the proposed statement of policy regarding the public disclosure of closed enforcement files. We have a number of documents that have been proposed. We have the original memorandum from Commissioner Goodman, as well as memorandum from Commissioners Ravel and Weintraub, and then a further one from Commissioner Goodman. This has been on the agenda a number of times over recent weeks, but hasn't had a lot of discussion. Whether or not we're going to have any ability to resolve it now, I don't know if that's possible today, but I think that certainly the process can be furthered by some additional discussion today, and then we'll see where we stand after that discussion. A few kinks may need to be still worked out, but I think that we can be edified by some further words on this matter. Commissioner Goodman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Late yesterday, I took my hand. I understood that Commissioner Weintraub prefers not to proceed seriatim, and I will accede to that desire, that whatever we're going to reach, we're either going to reach it by a document by the whole or through some Robert's Rules procedures. People can propose amendments to a document of the whole, but seriatim probably could leave both sides with half a loaf, and so it's probably better that we proceed on a document and continue to work to craft a document. What I would like to do, and I understand I'm not going to call for a vote today. I don't know if anybody wants to call for a vote. What I would like to do is to get the ball rolling on discussion, because I think we have now refined this so many times that we are at least to the points of sort of the moving parts. So if I could just sort of walk through in document 16-13-A-1, which is verbatim Commissioner Weintraub's last proposal at the last meeting, and I have redlined. I know on the blue document it doesn't show up as red, but I sent around a redlined document to all commissioners in the secretary's office and the general counsel last night so you could see the changes. Yes, ma'am.
Just so you know, you didn't send it around in a PDF, and most of us were gone from the office at that point, so we couldn't see the red lines until we got into the office this morning.
Because it was PDF?
It was not PDF. If you send around a Word document and we're looking at it on our phones,
I apologize.
We can't see the changes.
Oh, okay. On phones. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here they are, and now that since we're not going to vote today, you'll have a chance to see the red lines. But I thought what I would do is just walk through the moving parts here and answer any questions that any commissioner may have, and then we can work offline. I would hope that we could possibly bring this to a head at the next public meeting and decide whether we're going to expand the categories or stay with the old policy. If we can't come to agreement, we can always stay with, we have a policy, and we can stay with that. But if I could, I'll just start with this document on page. All of the text you see was Commissioner Weintraub's text and policy. Until we get to page 3, item number 1, complaints. And I just put, I'll just go through item by item, and I'll try not to be, but so tedious. I just clarified that where there is a complaint and then there are supplements to the complaint, those should be made public along with a complaint. We get those quite often. The second issue is I have broken out from number 1 a new number 2, which are internal agency referrals, which have the effect of being complaints effectively when the commission, because ultimately the commission has to adopt them, then they become complaints, and so they should be made public on the same basis as actual complaints. But for 40 years, the commission has not made public those where the commission did not proceed to open a matter or a complaint. The last time I proposed this, I should tell you, my informal discussions with commissioners indicated that there were 4 votes opposed to changing that 40-year policy. So I have taken this back to where I think there's a majority of the commission and made clear that we would only make those public where the commission actually opens the matter under review. As you know, just this week, we had a group of them. We opened some. Those will be made public, those internal referrals. We declined to open some on the recommendation of the Office of General Counsel. Those should not be made public in some way to unfairly stigmatize someone that something untoward occurred where the commission didn't even see fit to open the matter. Number three is response, and I have included there, including supplements to a response. It seems logical that if you're going to make a response public, you should also make the supplements to a response. And that will also inform something I have proposed to strike later, which is the correspondence between OGC and people pre-RTB, because what those do is they effectively supplement a response. And so without that language proved, the subsequent language in number 12 proved problematic for some commissioners. I think we could take that concern away just by a generic term or a simplified term of the supplements to a response. Number six, I simply broke out factual and legal analyses from the from number what was number four is now number five, notification of reasonable findings. Not all notifications have reasonable findings. Some inform someone that there was no finding of reason to believe, and so some factual and legal analyses inform people that there is no reason to believe. So I thought it would be clearer to break those out into two separate categories. Number nine was merely a clarification. Statements of reasons are issued by one or more commissioners. I wanted to give the dignity, if there is a statement of reasons by one commissioner, that would be made public as well. But I believe that there don't believe there'd be any misunderstanding or dispute about that. Number 10 is an issue that I think we're going to have to probably continue to discuss. There is a historical practice within the commission that where a commissioner proposed a factual and legal analysis that failed to garner four votes, commissioners have been free to issue a statement of reasons and attach that factual and legal analysis to their statement of reasons, and many commissioners on the commission here today have done that. The certifications will show a vote on a factual and legal analysis that failed. But if you cannot make that factual and legal analysis public, then there is a certification with no edification or explanation for what people voted on. I don't think we have to make all of them public, but where it is important to a commissioner to explain their vote, where there were a series of votes, I believe one commissioner should have the ability to say, here was a factual and legal analysis that memorialized my position. It did not garner four votes. That explains why I voted the way I did in this vote certification. I would consider taking this out, since it's conditional, upon the request of any commissioner. We could craft other language in the text somewhere that preserves this right in generic terms without putting it in a list of those that are automatically made public. But in other words, we could have text that says where one or more or three or more commissioners agree, other documents may be made public as well, something generic like that. Skipping down then to number 15. The Office of General Counsel often sends us memoranda and reports that effectively supplement the first general counsel's reports and other reports in item number 4 above. And they inform the commission relies on those. And so it is my proposal, and there is agreement to make those public in Commissioner Weintraub's proposal. I think the commission ought to consider, however, the limitation of that it must be circulated through the office of the secretary before it is made public. I think we ought to consider that. What that leaves is there is the public route, and then there is the secretive route. I can send you a memo, and there's no policy guiding what will be circulated and through the secretary and what won't. So if there's to be a public route and a secret route, we ought to have at least a better definition of the circumstances under which they'll be routed and won't be. Number 16, errata memoranda. since we are making general counsel's reports and memoranda generally public, to edify the public record, to assist people in understanding the machinations and contemplations of the commission, people, lawyers regularly look at first general counsel's reports to divine the law. If there is a fundamental error in a first general counsel's report, that justifies an errata to amend it later on, I would hate to leave something erroneous out there on the public record with a private or secretive errata sheet that corrects it that no one has access to. And Dan, we can continue conversation about this. Maybe there are different types of erratas, some of which correct a legal. Like we had one of those recently, I think it was in W. Span, where the Office of General Counsel issued an errata clarifying a point of law that would be very important to people trying to comply with the LLC rules that the commission considered there. Number 17, this is another area like the factual and legal analyses that fail that I think the commission should consider, if not in this policy, in a narrative that leaves the possibility open that if three or more, and what I suggest is three or more commissioners, where they have considered a document on the public that was part of the administrative record and it influenced their thinking, the respondents, the complainants, and the public have a right to know. Now, we have litigated this issue and lost. So I think we need to make some provision for making these public, whether or not it's in the automatic policy of what goes public, or whether or not there is a sentence later in the text that doesn't preclude the possibility of this on a case-by-case, I would consider that type of language as well. Number 12 is struck. I've discussed how that could be the concept that number, I originally wrote number 12 last year. That was in one of my original proposals. It got picked up by Commissioner Ravel in a later proposal, and Commissioner Weintraub, it's in yours. That caused some concern of some people about how highly prescriptively it was written and whether or not it actually implicitly endorsed a practice that has largely been abandoned here in the agency. So rather than pick that fight, I propose that we subsume it in the supplements to responses in number 3. However, I do have alternative language that is more generic than this that may satisfy everybody. And that language was in my proposal, which just says correspondence other than a complaint or a response to a complaint exchanged between the commission and the respondent discussing the substance of alleged violations and related factual and evidentiary information. And the point being, it is correspondence that augments the complaint and response process without going into pre-RTB findings and investigations, which have proved to be somewhat problematic and controversial in the agency. The remainder, as you see, remains the same. However, some of those changes implicated changes in what will not be placed on the public record. And principally the memoranda that are withdrawn and the errata memoranda. I might add that on number 4, so we're turning now to page 5. I didn't catch it. Ms. Jacona informed me this morning. Number 4, for the first time, we will be saying documents that we are, as a matter of policy, not going to be making public. Documents related to debt settlement plans. We regularly do that where the commission does not approve the debt settlement plan or the administrative termination. We regularly do make one document public in all of those cases, and that is the notice to the respondent that their debt settlement plan has not been approved or the administrative termination has not been approved. So we probably need some clarification and exception for those notice letters. I wouldn't recommend that we otherwise change the extant practice of the commission there. Turning then down to the bottom of page 5, I've been informed that I just sort of misfired in an edit at the bottom of page 5. under alternative dispute resolutions. By the time alternative dispute resolutions get matters, they are already open in the agency, and therefore I would strike that proposed edit at the bottom of page 5 and the top of page 6. Moving down on page 6, number 8, settlement agreement. The extant language, I think, said negotiated settlement agreements. I just thought we could clarify. Even settlement agreements that aren't executed. Number 8 on page 6. And this is merely a technical clarification. If we're going to, I think what we intend is the final executed settlement agreement will be made public. And I thought that had more precision than just a negotiated settlement agreement. I made other technical changes you'll see throughout. Under the administrative functions section, I actually considered breaking this into a separate policy. Leave enforcement records is the subject of one policy, and the administrative functions as a separate policy. Not that I oppose them, just because they're different kettles of fish. They're different genres of documents. And we make so many administrative documents public already on our website, hundreds of categories, that it seemed odd to single these out for a major policy. I didn't want to disrupt the harmony that we were moving toward agreement, so I left it and just tried to incorporate that thought by saying, well, at least this is a non-exclusive list of administrative documents that we will make public. I don't think there was any magic to these. Some of these are already on our website. Many of these are. Case closing processing statistics, for example. There's a chart already on our website about that. Now, the final changes come at the bottom of page 7. And they are of two different kinds. The next to last sentence says, in all matters, the commission may, as required or as otherwise appropriate, redact information that is exempt from disclosure under the FECA, the principles set forth by the Court of Appeals and AFL-CIO, and the FOIA. And the reason for that change was, the language proposed was that the commission will redact. FOIA exemptions are largely discretionary, and I don't want to, by policy that we publish in the Federal Register today, make a blanket determination for all future FOIAs that we will redact all FOIA exemptions. I believe we just ought to leave it within our discretion as appropriate. And then, of course, some redactions are required under the FECA or the principles set forth in AFL-CIO. So I was just trying to leave open our discretion to act principally under FOIA exemptions. And finally, the last sentence, in appropriate cases implicating the law enforcement privilege, the commission reserves the right to assert privilege to withhold an entire document. I have preserved that sentence from my prior proposal at the request of the general counsel, who thought that was important to preserve. So those are the changes that I think are the moving parts. And I'll be happy to answer any questions or hear any reaction, and we can continue to work offline between now and the next meeting.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner Goodman. I appreciate the feedback. As you know, we've been eagerly awaiting it. And I think there are still large areas of agreement. We're probably not going to agree on everything at the end of the day, but I saw this document for the first time last night when I checked my email at 9:30 last night, and it was on my phone, and I couldn't see the changes, and I didn't really understand what it was. I took a quick look at it this morning, I think there's, again, some things we're going to agree on and some things we're going to disagree on, but I think there are large areas of agreement, and I'm hopeful that by the next meeting we can hone it down to something that everybody is pretty comfortable with. You know, probably no one's going to get everything they want out of this document, but I think there are, as I said, vast proportions of this document that are probably agreeable to all sides, and you know, we'll just have to work on the pieces that are more controversial. And I'm looking forward to working with you and discussing it with my colleagues and hearing from OGC on it when we've all had a little bit more time to process it. But thank you.
Is there any further discussion or comments? If not, then we will pick this back up in a couple of weeks on June 30th, and hopefully by that time we'll be in a position to move forward on that.